Blog Talk Radio. Woman, I'm tickled pink that you're back. If you're a hardcore Weight Watcher who's been dieting for years, you probably realize that over the course of time, you've dieted your way up the scale, which means that you are actually heavier now than when you first started. Feeling pressured to get thinner faster and make whatever diet you're on that week work, you end up blaming yourself each time your willpower caves, thinking you're a failure. Watching helplessly as the needle on the scale keeps on moving in the wrong direction, feeling like you've hit diet rock bottom, you can't help but feel disgusted, comparing yourself to every single thinner woman in the world. Feeling the scorn of envy and shame, hating your body, you probably wish that there could be an alternative to dieting, but scared to death to give it a try. Oh, girl, I know what you're thinking. But don't be so quick to judge yourself and think that you've failed at dieting. Dieting has failed you. I have news for you. Diets don't work, and they actually set you up to fail. Have you ever been to Vegas or any place with a casino and done some gambling? You know, you hit the old slot machine and put a few coins in, and you're over the moon because all of a sudden you get a little payoff. A few coins roll out, and what do? Rather than walking away, most of us would keep on playing, hoping that the big payoff is right around the corner. That's how dieting is set up to function. In her Beyond Dieting program, Dr. Nancy Bonus calls this intermittent reinforcement. That means that you're rewarded early on for playing the game. So you keep on rolling the dice or putting coins in the machine, hoping for that one big jackpot. Does that sound familiar to you? Like gambling, there's an implied promise in dieting that as long as you're in it, you'll eventually win it. But you don't, because the initial rapid weight loss you get from dieting early on comes from the feelings of exhilaration you have over achieving your goal. You're so motivated. You do anything, even eat bricks and stand on your head. You just want to fit into that dress again, go to your high school reunion, or slim down for that cruise, right? But when you lose your steam and your reason for getting thinner isn't strong enough to give you reasons to keep on depriving yourself, you're out of the game. With dieting, the main focus is on eliminating or cutting down on many of the foods you love. Sure, you could do that for a while, but once you hit saturation point and you can't stand avoiding the foods you love any longer, your eating's out of control. That's because diets focus on keeping you dependent on following their rules. I'll bet, like me, you've convinced yourself that you can't trust yourself around a fridge or pantry filled with fattening foods. Maybe you're keeping the goodies you love at arm's distance or, oh, heaven forbid, avoiding them completely. The problem with that strategy is that you always end up wanting what you think you can't have. And when push comes to shove, at some point, your cravings will get you by the nose, and you'll end up binging on those foods that you've tried so desperately to avoid. Don't beat up on yourself. The problem has nothing to do with lack of willpower or discipline. The real challenge is that as long as you think of certain foods as off-limits or restricted, you'll end up craving them like mad and eventually overeat them as soon as you can get your hands on them. And naturally, that will only feed your frustration to feed, and you'll end up gaining more weight and hating your body. It is such a vicious cycle that gets reinforced by dieting. In order to break it, you have to say goodbye to deprivation and restriction and learn how to make peace with food once and for all. No more dieting. No kidding. As a curvy plus-size woman myself, having a pair of thighs I have long despised, I struggled for years with nasty body bashing, I hate my fat thighs thoughts, and decades of food and weight obsession, trying desperately to diet or exercise away these thighs. But no matter how much weight I lost, I was never happy with my body or felt safe around food. I was able to maintain my weight off for nearly 6 years, but it was a constant struggle that included over-exercising, under-eating, and, of course, lots of binging. Then, in August of 2006, I threw caution to the wind and made the decision to stop dieting. That's when I learned that as long as you continue to diet and restrict your food, watch your weight, scale surf, body bash, avoid the foods you love, you'll never, never, ever have what you want, peace and self-acceptance. That's because dieting reinforces negative thinking that keeps us looking at things as black or white, good or bad, all or nothing. With the belief system geared for perfectionism, food is more like a danger zone filled with traps, zingers, and minefields everywhere you look. Years ago, before I made the decision to stop dieting, I cleaned out my closet and was amazed to find that I had clothes that I hadn't worn for nearly 20 years. I had to come to grips with the fact that the precious size 6 Betsy Johnson black and purple mesh slip dress just wasn't going to fit me anytime soon. As I lovingly stared at it, draped over the blue satin padded hanger, my thoughts wandered and I remembered the last time I had worn it. My husband and I were invited to his best friend Ricky's wedding. It was November 1992, almost a year and a half after my son PT was born. I was still a few pounds away from my goal weight, according to Weight Watchers, but at 137 pounds, I was feeling so confident that I looked great. All day long, I stressed about wearing that dress. Although I knew it would look wonderful, I couldn't do anything to risk having a tummy bulge, so I ate like a bird. For the majority of the day, I ate steamed vegetables and salad with diet dressing and sipped on endless amounts of water. The reception was in the evening around 7:30. As I stepped into the car, I smiled as I thought about how stunning I looked and the price that I had paid to fit into this dress. All the personal training sessions with Rob, the buckets of sweat, the weigh-ins, the cooking, all the money spent on special low-cal foods, workout clothes, gym equipment, sneakers, all the walking and running, the suicides with Rob in the mornings, the stair climbing and dancing, the push-ups, the pull-ups, the curls, the tai-bo, the sit-ups, the lunges and sprints, and all the temptation that I did my best to resist, culminating in this one moment. I felt so proud of my accomplishments, and I silently patted myself on the back. When we arrived at the reception, I was the belle of the ball. All of my husband's friends and brothers swarmed around me like bees, paying me compliments and saying how wonderful I looked with my satin skin and milky white shoulders. My husband, Angel, beamed with pride. We danced a bit, and all during our time together, all I could think of was how I looked in that stupid dress. God, did I look fat? Did my belly pooch out from that last glass of water? I made up an excuse and told Angel that I wanted to sit down, knowing full well that my motive was my fear that standing up made my tummy bulge more obvious. When it came time to eat at the reception, I picked at my plate and had a few grains of rice and some chicken, along with a few sips of water. I just couldn't risk not fitting into that dress and having my tummy bulge out. It was all I could think about. It was just before midnight as we were coming off of the highway heading home. I was starved. I was so hungry that I could have eaten a cow. I asked Angel to stop and pick up some Chinese food before the takeout place closed. That marked the end of my obsession of fitting into that dress that night. It was all over, and now I could celebrate by eating. That was the legacy that dieting taught me. I learned how to play the game and fool myself and others into believing that I had control over food. It was all an illusion, and in reality, food had me in its thrall. Today, I don't obsess on food anymore, and I don't fear not being perfect, because I'm not. I'm sure not perfect. That dress? I've since passed it on to my daughter, Kara. She wore it for Halloween last year, and she was the most fashionable witch ever. It was really time to let go of that dress. That was the old Andrea. This is the new and improved version, much more confident and happy. In fact, when I think back to the days of craziness that dress represented, I realized that my decision to give up dieting wasn't giving up. In fact, it was taking a bold stand for myself and honoring the woman I've become. When I gave up allowing a program to tell me what I could and could not eat, I took back control of the rest of my life. I decided that, like that dress, dieting doesn't fit me anymore. I've simply outgrown it. There may have been some good memories from diets in the past, but I'll tell you, for the most part, it was a lot of pain. Now I say goodbye to dieting and hello life. How about you? Are you still consumed by hating yourself for not being perfect? Are you embarrassed because you sneak food and eat when people's backs are turned? There is hope, and the way out is through. As you begin to release your food fears and recognize that you can take care of yourself, then you will begin to enjoy life more and live in the present. I'll never get back those moments or years that I wasted obsessing about what I ate, how much, and when. But I can move forward with a greater degree of love and self-compassion so that I'll never waste my time like that again. Now, most weight loss experts are saying, stop dieting. Emotional eating or eating to soothe your feelings is very common. This is because your cravings are actually unmet emotional needs that surface when you're feeling overwhelmed. In fact, emotional eating accounts for the near 98% failure rate of dieting. Back in April 2008, Tracy Mann, associate professor of psychology at UCLA, shared the results of a composite study of 31 different long-term studies analyzing people who lost weight on diets and opted to have their progress tracked by the study for between 2 and 5 years. As lead author of the study, she says, "We found that the majority of people regained the weight plus more. Sustained weight loss was found only in a small minority of participants, while complete weight regain was found in the majority. Diets do not lead to sustained weight loss or health benefits for the majority of people." When asked what alternative is best to consider in lieu of dieting, Mann said, "Eating in moderation is a good idea for everybody, and so is regular exercise." Here are a few quick tips to get you moving along the road to non-dieting and self-acceptance. Get support. Surround yourself with a circle of supportive, like-minded women who are also on the road to non-dieting and ending their weight and food obsession. Plan a love-in-the-skin-you're-in movie night. Rent a film showing women who are comfortable in their bodies at any size. Oh, some of my favorites are Fat Girls, Queen Size, Real Women Have Curves, Hairspray, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. You can't miss that. Focus on function. Stop resenting your chunky legs, bulging midriff, and untoned arms. Be thankful for what it has given you the ability to do, not how it looks. Learn how to become an intuitive eater. You gotta stop dieting. If you don't love it, don't eat it. Stop eating at the first sign of satisfaction. Okay, now here's the skinny. Sadly, you're just not going to feel good about doing any of these things that I've just said unless you deal with the emotions that are keeping you eating out of control. Those are the little buggers that are holding your self-esteem hostage. If you want to get off the diet roller coaster and stop fearing food once and for all, I'm here for you. Join me on Thursdays for a supportive group coaching call. I've been where you are, so I've got the solutions you need. The rest is up to you. Have a great day. Bye, Juicy Woman.
Hey there, it's Andrea. I just wanted to check in with you guys and see what you had to say. What are you thinking about this? Does anybody have any questions?
Hi, Andrea. My name is Maria, and
hi, Maria.
I have a question. I've been dieting for as long as I can remember, and I'm just afraid, like, if I give up dieting, does that mean I have to just accept my body the way it is and stop dieting and not lose weight? Because I have a lot of health issues and I need to get healthy, but I also want to love my, you know, the skin I'm in. So.
Right. No, not at all. It's not an all or nothing thing, Maria. When you loving the skin you're in doesn't mean, you know, saying to hell with everything and saying, oh, I don't care, you know, if I'm not healthy or whatever I do. It's not about damning the consequences. It's about really embracing yourself and changing by being a lot more gentle. Instead of kicking yourself in the can, it's more about listening to your body and listening to what you need. Taking the emphasis off of what it is that you're eating and what you're thinking about food and putting it on your life, because it's so important to realize that food is not the issue. The problem is not the food. That if you're struggling with a weight problem, it's a symptom of something else. Something else is working and going on in your life that's causing you to reach for food when you're not hungry. And by taking the emphasis off of the food, it's kind of like taking the wool, you know, pulling the wool off of your eyes and saying, oh, my gosh, I can see now. It's looking at your life and saying, what are the situations that are cropping up consistently that are making me feel like I need to reach for something?
Okay. I heard you talk about just dealing with the emotions, and I know I'm an emotional eater. Are there any suggestions that you could give me to learn how to deal with the stress in my life and the feelings
yes.
I have?
Well, on another show, I'll give you a little quick hit of how to do it. There's the emotional freedom technique, and that's something that I endorse, and I love it so, so much. Emotional freedom technique, also known as EFT, is like, have you heard of acupuncture?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the emotional version of acupuncture, where instead of inserting needles into your body, which is done by a trained acupuncturist, you're going to be using your fingertips to tap on different spots on your body. The ancient Chinese doctors discovered that they mapped out a system of like a circulatory, a meridian system throughout our body, which showed that when you stimulate certain spots or areas on your body, it releases blocks. Now, the blocks that we're talking about are emotional blocks. And these you'll see when, if you've ever encountered resistance or you found yourself doing something that would sabotage yourself, you know that you want to do something. Let's say you know you want to go out walking, but all of a sudden you find that you can't find your sneakers anywhere and you overslept and, you know, you just can't seem to get up. That is an emotional block. And many times what we tend to do is we tend to blame ourselves when we see that we're doing something and acting in a way that's not in alignment with what we say we want. But what we need to do is take a more gentle approach and realize that whatever it is that we're doing it because we're in a comfort zone. And by breaking out of that comfort zone or by confronting something that we're doing, by confronting yourself when you're sabotaging, when you find that you're sabotaging yourself, it's more a question of being curious instead of critical. What I want you to do is I want you to look for times when you find that you're looking for food and you're frustrated, and maybe take note of them. Many people, it works for them to journal. If, as I had mentioned about the emotional freedom technique, we have these different comfort spots on our body. One of the most important ones that is
good to know about is the side of your hand. It's called the karate chop point. If you either rub, take your dominant hand and put it over your non-dominant hand, covering the palm, covering the side of your hand where a martial artist would break a block of wood, if you gently tap that or hold that or rub that, you're stimulating that point, so it's releasing that tendency to want to hold on to that comfort zone. It's making you, it's putting you in a position of being more open and more, it melts away your resistance. It's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I mean, a lot of the stuff you said really resonated with me. I can totally relate. Is there any other way, besides the blog show, where I can learn more about what you do?
Do you have a
book, or are you speaking anywhere?
Yes, I'm going to be speaking. As a matter of fact, if you're in the New York area, I'm going to be speaking at Ashley Stewart at their Harlem location, and that's at 216-220 West 125th Street, and that's February 9th and the 13th. So that's the Saturday and next Wednesday. All that information is going to be on my Twitter, which is at The Juicy Woman.
Okay.
And
all right.
Also, of course, I'm so sorry, Maria. Anything
no,
you want to know, I have a website. It's thejuicywoman.com. I have private coaching. I have group coaching. And I'm here for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. So, everybody, I want to talk to you about this whole idea of changing the way that you're thinking. Instead of looking at the food as the enemy and looking at your body as, you know, something that's so, so painful and difficult, I want you to realize that permanent change, this is a quote that I absolutely adore from Dr. Nancy Bonus, creator of the Beyond Dieting program. And she says, permanent change requires a climate of love and nurturing and not self-loathing and disgust. How true is that? I mean, if you really, really think about it, if you've thought of the times when you've learned something, you probably did it in an environment where you felt good and you felt comfortable. So I am all about taking action and making changes in order to create effortless shifts in your thinking. So at the end of my book, I have what I call a Juicy Woman checklist. And at the close of each of these shows from this point forward, I'll share one of those items for you to work on during the coming week. This week is all about you taking time for you. Here's the question that I want you to think about this week. And don't worry if you miss it, because I'm going to post it on my Twitter and Facebook page. And I'd love to hear from you and find out how you're following through each week. So here it is. I want you to ask yourself, am I taking extremely good care of myself? Do I take time out of my schedule each day just for me? Okay, think about that. And if you can, I would love to see you at Ashley Stewart on February 9th and 13th from 11 to 2. I'll be at the Ashley Stewart location in Harlem, New York, doing a book signing. Check me on at The Juicy Woman on Twitter for more details. I love you guys, and I'm so excited to be here with you. Have an awesome week. Bye, Juicy Woman.